It's back for 2014, the Football Sack Podcast for Brazil, brought to you by Banking on Football.
Monday the 23rd of June 2014, it is time for another Football Snap podcast. We are in the Southern Cross University studios in Lismore, and my name is Jack, and Christian is here.
Great to be here on day always, mate.
It is. Christian is back in the studio after the police believed his story that he was just mucking around, texting that girl and scaring the life out of her. And Pat is here with me.
I'm back.
Yeah, well, the regulars, as we like to call ourselves now that Christian missed yesterday's show. He's just such a Johnny-come-lately football fan, Christian Leyland.
I love the soccer kangaroos, mate. They're great.
Absolutely. We are going to wrap up last night's action. That was a thriller minute, some of those games, some more so than others. And we have a special guest on later in the show to discuss the Portugal versus USA game, which was actually genuinely quite exciting, and we'll talk about that. The major sponsors of today's podcast and all of the podcasts that you hear throughout the World Cup is Banking on Football. Get a great deal on your banking and support grassroots football at the same time. Go to bankingonfootball.com for more details. And we also have some new sponsors that we'll go through later in the show that we like to thank. And if you get annoyed when we thank the sponsors, you shouldn't, because they're what bring this podcast to you for free. So don't be freeloaders. Just sit through the ads and take it. And support them.
Don't just sit to the ads. You know, go to the organisations while you're listening to the ads. That's with even genuine better. Excitement.
That's even better than what I had them doing.
So we've got some tasty sponsors, don't we?
Some tasty sponsors. Absolutely good segue. good segue.
Good hint.
Yes, yeah, good hint. We could just go straight into it, but we won't, because that's not our style. We're more the disjointed kind of podcast. Let's start at the top. So Belgium won Russia 0 in one of the most boring games in World Cup history, wasn't it?
It was. It was not just for us, but the whole world. It was actually the least tweeted about match in the entire World Cup so far.
Did you actually count all the tweets?
Yeah. I was actually there. There was seriously about 17 of them.
Yeah. He looked up the hashtag Belarus, and yeah, it was just like he kept clicking all tweets, but he was getting them all. They're all there. And they did the heat map thing. You know, have you seen how they're doing that for where tweets are coming from throughout the World Cup? Mm. You know, sort of the real hot spots, and there was just no action anywhere.
White, blue.
Yeah, it was not. There was no heat. It was cold. Origi scoring the winner, and Belgium failed to impress again. God, it was boring. I watched it.
Yep.
It was shocking.
I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I know you didn't. Neither of you watched it. I was the poor sucker that took one for the team and got up to watch this thriller. After yesterday's podcast, and when Pat and I were saying, don't miss any of these games, because this World Cup just continues to give us action when we don't expect it. So I got up at 1:50 a.m. and slippers on and downstairs and keen as mustard and watched just one of the most awful games I've ever seen in my life.
It's pretty crazy, because at the start of the World Cup, right, the team that everyone wanted to watch was Belgium.
Yeah.
Everyone was excited by their 11, well, their squad, and everyone was so pumped for the first game, and they've just pumped out rubbish.
I spent 10 minutes at, we had like a family dinner last night, and I spent 10 minutes explaining to my brother-in-law why Belgium-Russia had all the characteristics of a classic, and he should really consider getting up for it, and I'm glad he didn't take my word for it, because he would have hated me this morning. So, let's not dwell on it.
Then again, we laugh, but they've called for the next round and we haven't.
They have. Yes. Let's be honest, when they play a half-decent opposition, they're going to get hammered if they bring that sort of game. Who have they got? Their group is lined up with?
It's Group G, which could be Germany, USA, Ghana or Portugal.
All of whom will beat them.
Yeah, if they show what we've seen so far.
So they look to be on the plane home. Russia, even worse. They've played two games and not looked like getting out of second gear. So I think they're not technically out yet, but they're almost gone. Let's move on, because that game was boring, and I hate both of those countries now for making me watch it.
Yeah, so I do.
No, I've made that decision. Oh, yeah,
you watch it. Belgium will come good now.
Yeah, they'll win it. Get on it. I think we also tipped Korea to get a win on yesterday's show, and you said at the time, you watch Algeria come out firing, get a big win, which they did.
Yeah.
I watched the first half of this game and saw Algeria score three times, and I wanted Korea to do well. I've been to Korea a couple of times. I like the country. I like the people. I like the team. I think they're good to watch. They're quite awful at the back, as it turns out. Asia, in general, in this World Cup is terrible. Why is that?
Well, it's crazy, because Asia has played a total of, what, 8 games for 3 competition points. Mm. You know, Australia.
And one of those was against Greece, so that's a poor result to get a point against Greece.
A man up against Greece.
Absolutely. So,
I think everyone was tipping Asia to go all right in this World
Cup. We said at the start of the World Cup,
at least Japan and Korea.
Yeah, it's almost like Australia has been the best performing Asian team and we've got no points.
Yeah, we've got the least points of Asian side, but if you have a look at performances, you know, to be honest, if we were in the three groups the other Asian sides are in, I think we'd be doing quite well.
Yeah, I think we'd walk out.
Iran aside, actually, because they've had some tough matches, but and they've done well, that they could still qualify, so we'll see how they go.
Yeah, they've been solid without sort of really offering much, apart from sort of on the break. They really set up for a point in both of their games and almost got it. Algeria scoring four times last night after three in the opening 35 minutes, and they
I
actually
I read somewhere that they're the first African team to score four goals
in a game. Are they really?
Yeah, I think so.
It probably sounds like a stat that would be right, yeah. Mm. We've had two takes at this podcast, and Christian's voice has failed both times, and now I'm getting croaky, so it's obviously, but I'm not doing it again, so this is just going to have to make the cut.
A little side note is that this is the equal highest scoring match of the World Cup.
Six goals. Yes, it is, with Netherlands, Spain, that would be.
Correct.
Yeah, great.
I think all our nicknames could be stats from now on.
Yeah, well, Christian, more so than us. you've thrown one in there, but Christian's up 2-1 in the podcast so far. So we'll keep a little running tally of how the stats are going. So Algeria, doing well. There goes my throat again. Apologies. USA 2, Portugal 2. The one game this morning I didn't see, it was the game to see.
What a match, seriously. I mean, I just love watching the USA.
We said on yesterday's podcast, USA are always great to watch.
I mean, last World Cup, they're amazing. I mean, they're Leonard Donovan's 91st minute winner against Algeria.
One of the moments of the tournament.
It was, it's an amazing goal and just the wild celebrations afterwards. You know, I'm not a USA fan, obviously, because I'm a soccerist fan, but I was out of my lounge chair just jumping up and down.
Even the Confederations Cup before the last World Cup, USA were fantastic to watch. 2-0 up against Brazil in the final, weren't they?
Correct. But I was a bit strange because they should have made the semi-finals last World Cup, but a bit of misfortune against Ghana sort of stopped that from happening. And with a change of coach, yes, Rob Bradley probably took them as far as he could, but I thought there's a bit of danger here that the next World Cup might not be as great because, you know, change of coach, you just never know what's going to happen. Do you cut Donovan, which was a big decision, but it says looked to have paid dividends until about until 1 minute left in their match.
Yeah, well, let's go through the goal. So the first goal is Nani on just a defensive error.
Shocker.
Yeah, very early in the game. But what about Jones's hit? How good is that?
Amazing. If it wasn't for Gahill's goal, that would be gold.
Gahill?
What?
Yeah, mature guys.
Did you mean to say that?
I didn't. I don't think we're being immature. I think you said Gahill. I'm not laughing at the fact that it's the word gay. It's just not his name.
I meant to say Gahill. So I've got a massive career in broadcasting, by the way. So
it's nice to have Hannah Hollis on the podcast today.
She's got a bit of a croaky voice. Yes. A bit of a frog in the throat.
Sorry, Tim Gaylord. Talk us through it.
A side note, Rita Minkowska, who was a player for Melbourne Victory W League 2 years ago, she played for a college side whose mascot was Gaylord the Camel. I just think that's worthy of a mention.
Gaylord the Camel.
Yeah. And the teammate was the Fighting Camels.
What university was it? Can you remember?
I can't remember. It's in the USA, obviously. So.
The University of Oklahoma football team plays at the Gaylord Memorial Stadium.
Where's the toilet?
Pat's struggling. Sorry, listen, Pat's sort of ruled out. This is kind of back to a two-man show again, like it was yesterday. Christian and I will hold the fort until he's back in the game.
So I'm back in the regular spot now.
Yes, that's right. So, sorry, back to what you were saying about Jones.
It was, apart from Cahill's goal... Mm. It was got to be goal of the tournament. It was amazing. You know, his laces completely to the ball, and it still managed to swerve.
That's what we said watching it. It's
plagiarism.
Yeah, absolutely. That was my
that's my Jim Allen moment.
That was my absolute description of it when we were watching the highlights before. He's managed to curl, but he's also managed to lace.
Look, mate, you're going to steal my throat condition. I'm going to steal your jokes. Yeah. It's as simple as that.
Fair. All's fair in the comedy podcast.
I will admit, though, that is definitely Jack's joke, so you should give him the credit for it.
Also, watch out on the full Brazilian tonight for some joke featuring Tim Gates. Which will no doubt make an appearance. We had some technical issues getting our podcast up with Jim Owen on time the other day, so it didn't sort of come out until about 10 or 11 o'clock at night, which unfortunately was after he'd taken some of our jokes to use on his show.
Well, we probably shouldn't criticise our guests, so we won't get any more.
Yeah, no, but everyone else has been awesome. Jim Owen was very nice.
Talking about guests, we've got someone on the line now.
We do. We have a Portuguese footballer by the name of Fabio Ferreira on the line. Well, coming up. He's not on the line yet, but... We can get him on the line if you like. Shall we get him on the line right now?
I guess.
Let's get him on the line right now. Joining us on the line, as promised, 5 seconds ago, is Fabio Ferreira from Adelaide United and also a former Portuguese under 19 international. Is that correct?
Yes, under 19 and also 16, 17, and 18.
Fantastic. Thanks for coming on the show, mate. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
What did you make of the game this morning? Obviously, you guys were a whisker away from going out, but Ronaldo stepped up when he needed to.
Yeah, no, I was a bit disappointed. I was very confident, as all the Portuguese people were. But the result wasn't the best, and the performance wasn't the best at all. So it's a bit complicated now for Portugal to get through the group stages. But, you know, let's see. It's not over until it's over, but it obviously will be very hard.
Obviously, a lot of Portugal relies on Ronaldo, which is completely understandable if you have a player of his ability in your side. He's carrying this injury, and he looks like he's not able to play at the level he would normally want to.
Yeah, I know. He's been carrying an injury for a long time, and everybody can see that, and it's just not the same. But obviously, he has to play. It's still very important that just being on a pitch, he makes a difference. But obviously, it's not his best, and Portugal, you know, cannot just rely on Ronaldo. They have to play with the others as well. But the truth is that they rely a lot in Ronaldo. But with him in these, not 100%, obviously he cannot do much for Portugal.
So, mate, how big is the Portuguese population in Australia? Would there be a lot of people watching?
Well, in Adelaide, it's not very big. I just know two or three people, but I know in Sydney, it's a lot of Portuguese people, a big community. So I'm sure that you'd be better to watch a game there in some place full of Portuguese. But in Adelaide, there's none, so I just watch at home by myself.
You've had a pretty roundabout way to get here, haven't you? You started out in Portugal, and you were on the books of Sporting Lisbon and Chelsea at different times, two massive clubs. Why did you make the decision to come out to Australia when you did?
When I left Australia, when I left England, I went to Portugal for 2 years. I played there in the second division, and I wasn't really happy. And I lost passion for the game, and I stopped playing football, and I just quit. So I came to Australia because I got some family in Sydney, not to think about the football, but think about find a normal job like any other person. Fortunately, I was playing in Dulwich Hill, that, you know, he gave me the hand, and I'm really thankful to them as well. And from them, I had the opportunity to come to Adelaide United on trial. And Cosmin and the club, they signed me, and now I'm here, and I'm very happy.
So what was it about playing in the A-League that all of a sudden made you love football again, where you didn't before?
No, I always did love to play football until I went to Portugal second division. You know, the club wasn't the best. You know, the league was a bit poor, so I just stopped liking it as much as I used to, and then nothing was coming up that made me be happy with playing soccer again. So I was really bad, and then coming to Australia gave me this opportunity again. You know, it's great, and I'm happy because I'm doing what I love, and I can show what I can do.
Now, obviously, Sepp Gombau has come in, and you guys play a very enterprising brand of football. Do you feel that's given you a new lease on life as a player?
It's a very good style of football. Keeping the ball, loving the ball, attacking, and obviously, you know, for me, it's good. I like it. And last year, we showed that we played some very good games, and I done very good games myself. So it's everything working out.
Well, finally, we'll get your thoughts. Obviously, you say it's still possible for Portugal to get through. Do you think that they can get the job done against Ghana and get on a roll? Obviously, the World Cup, if you can get to those knockout stages, anything can happen.
Yeah, that's right. The groups are the other thing, but it's going to be very hard because the game between Germany and USA, someone has to win, first of all, and then it's got to be, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 goals that Portugal has to win against Ghana. And to be honest, if Portugal plays like they've been playing, it's going to be really hard, and you know, they step up the game or it's going to be goodbye to World Cup.
Now, being based in Australia now, have you caught any of the Socceroos matches? And if so, what have you made of their performances?
Yeah, Socceroos have been very good. They lost the two games, but it's not that they've been playing bad. It's just, you know, they create a lot of chances, score goals. They've been very good, but less experienced. You know, the other teams are more experienced, better players and everything, so it's always harder. But so far, it's been very surprising to see Australia in a World Cup. They've done very good and they've been doing very well.
Finally, who do you want to see win the World Cup? Well, let's take Portugal aside. Aside from them, who would you like to see win the World Cup?
I would like to see Brazil. I would like to see Brazil. You know, it's they're at home. They have good football, good players. So I would like to see them too in the World Cup.
Fantastic. Thanks very much for your time today, mate.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Fabio Ferreira joining us there from Adelaide United. He seems like a nice guy, doesn't he?
A very nice guy. Yeah. You know, come around to my place for a barbecue, I don't mind.
Anytime. He's got no friends, apparently, in Adelaide.
Poor guy.
Yeah. So let's wrap up what this means for these two groups that we were just talking about.
So Group G, obviously, anyone can still make it, though. Germany and USA have the advantage. So all they need to do is draw with each other and they're both through. So in a normal World Cup situation, as we saw 4 years ago, whenever teams just had to draw, they generally did. Mm. You know, people deny cohesion, but let's be honest, if you're guaranteed to stay in...
You don't move your defenders out of position because you don't need to take risks. So it's going to be a Belgium-Russia game, I think. Get on the draw if you're having a punt. That would be
very short odds, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I think so. In saying that, though, I mean, this World Cup has thrown out so many surprises. I mean, who bloody knows, really?
Yeah, true. But if I'm watching it, it'll be terrible.
So all USA and German fans are just begging you to watch it.
Yeah. So that was Group G.
And Belgium and Algeria, I mean, they look okay. They look like they're going to make it through. In saying that, you know, all Russia have to do is beat Algeria, and that's plausible as well. So it's a tough one to pick.
Yeah, definitely. Don't take your eyes off it. A good place to watch all of this action is Arrivederci's Pizza in Brisbane. In Milton near Suncorp Stadium, they are open 24/7. I did see a tweet that was sent from this morning where there was nobody in there, which is understandable on a Monday morning and that quality of that Belgium-Russia game. I thought they'd be packing the place out.
In saying that, though, go onto our Facebook page, search for Football Sack, and we posted a video this morning of them during the Italian match. Yes. The place is packed through, the national anthem's going crazy. So, look, the Australian match will be the exact same. Huge.
I haven't seen that video. I'm going to go watch
it. Have seen it?
No.
I've seen it.
Yeah, there you go. I'm not on Facebook enough, obviously. One thing that we touched on earlier in the tournament was Predictoroo.
Mm-hmm.
So
a highly successful Predictoroo with a success rate of not that many.
Yeah, I think it's already been canned.
It's convenient that once she got it wrong, she quit.
Yeah, I think that was good for everybody.
Yeah, Bindi Irwin conveniently on holiday once the first prediction went wrong.
Yeah.
And happy birthday, Bindi Irwin, who just turned 16, I think.
Yeah, that's right. You brought that up the other day when nobody was interested
she's
in
still
it.
In the news, I think. I was reading something about it today.
Yeah.
So it's Pat and Bindi sitting in the tree, yeah?
I think she does.
P-E-T-T-I-N-G.
She doesn't like the way the girls dress these days or something like that. I have no problem with it.
Bindi doesn't like it. She is a girl.
Yeah, but she doesn't. She reckons girls these days show off too much skin or something like that.
Right. Well, they need to hide it and they all need to wear camo and khaki like a father.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's fashion. Speaking of fashion, Algeria should be thrown out of the World Cup for having lime, green and white as their kit combination.
You know, I mean, people give FFA a stick, but the best thing they did was throw out the North Queensland for the exact same reason.
That is the reason they were officially thrown out. That's the worst combination since Brisbane Roar tried to do orange and maroon in the same kit.
See, I liked that one.
You're an odd guy.
Only one.
We've already established that you're an odd guy on this podcast for several reasons. But anyway, back to what we were talking about on the theme of predictions. Warrnambool City Council have come up with their own they've blatantly said on the back of Predictoroo's failure and subsequent disappearance and appearance in Kangaroo Stakes, Tula the Maremma has shown up.
What the hell's a Maremma?
A Maremma is an Italian sheepdog that has been brought along to keep foxes away from the penguins. And they thought, well, here's a bit of a piss take. We can do our own predictive thing. And it picked Costa Rica to beat Italy.
It's a piss take psyche, which is actually predicting well.
Yes. Right. So we're 100% behind it until it gets it wrong. So see if we can keep the mantle going for the rest of the World Cup. Because as it stands, we are 110% behind Tula, the Maremma, down at Warrnambool.
Oh, beautiful.
We'll keep you posted.
Yeah, look at Warrnambool City Council's YouTube to see what we're talking about.
I'm always on there anyway. I'm a regular on Warrnambool City Council's YouTube.
I'm a subscriber.
Let's quickly look ahead to the games for tomorrow. Australia-Spain is obviously the main one that we're concerned with. And some late fitness issues for Australia. Mark Milligan, namely, and Bresciano as well, both trying to get fit. How could they get fit? They could go to Elite Fitness in Lismore.
Ooh,
it would be a good way to get fit. The Elite Fitness in Lismore, specializing in weight loss, muscle and strength training, sports-specific training and nutrition and diet program. If you're interested, call Dean 0403-571-582. Although if they flew Milligan and Bresciano back to see Elite Fitness, they'd probably miss the game. So for those two, probably don't do it. But everybody else, get on it. If you're in the North Coast region, go see Dean. He's a champ.
See, now, this confuses me a bit because I was reading the latest edition of 442 magazine, and on the cover, it has a Socceroos special which features young gun Mark Milligan.
Yeah.
Now, to me, Mark Milligan, if you're a young gun, you shouldn't be getting injured so easily.
Shouldn't be at your third World Cup either.
Well, that's true. Young gun at the third World Cup.
Did they proofread that?
Why let facts get in the way of a good story?
Well, we don't do that on the podcast.
Right.
So.
No, that's right. It hasn't stopped Robbie Slater in the past. So, anyway, we should also mention we have a new sponsor. Come on board the show today.
We do. So we're getting on the big franchises here. Well, they're getting into us. It's Boost Juice.
Exciting. So, delicious.
Delicious. Juicy. Especially if you're heading to Boost and try the new Pro Choc smoothie. Mm-hmm. So that,
that'd be one for fitness freaks like us.
True. Just send out to Mike Milligan and Mike Bresciano.
Yeah, definitely.
We could have our delicious and nutritious balanced high protein meal in a cup while we're at Elite Fitness doing our sessions.
Yeah, sure. Or at Elite Fitness watching somebody else do sessions. Whatever you want to do.
You are good at this. I like the way
he's doing well. He's redeeming himself for missing yesterday's show. Yes. He's come back with a solid performance.
Yes,
hopefully Mark Milligan can come back after missing the last match with just a solid performance tonight against Spain. Tell us more about this unbelievable Boost Juice protein.
It's a Pro-Choc smoothie. And the tasty sucker contains coconut water. I don't know. Coconut water, what's that?
I've had coconut water. It's nice.
Is it water inside the coconut?
Yeah, exactly what it is. And apparently it's really high in like all the potassium and stuff. It's really, really good for you.
Right, okay. It tastes like coconut.
Yeah. Right, thanks for that breaking news.
I think we
can still make the 6 o'clock news thanks to Pat's breaking news there.
So it's got that banana. It's got coconut milk, which varies by coconut water due to about 5 different letters.
Mm.
So chocolate powder, whey protein and ice, because that's important.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, especially how else are you going to keep it cool?
That's true. Mm. Not the Breaking Bad type of ice then. So.
No. Yeah.
Ah, okay. They get more sales if they did that, though.
Yeah, definitely. That's on Boost Juice's Heisenberg range. We can't use this promo now.
We've lost this sponsorship after one advertisement. All right, the protein combined with antioxidants and healthy fats will fuel you through the heaviest workout and is also a great breakfast option. So do yourself a favour and get your energy boost of Pro-Choc Smoothie today, which is only for a limited time at Boost Juice.
Fantastic. We should also move on and predict Netherlands-Chile. Well, we didn't even really predict Australia. We just kind of did a segue to talk about our sponsors.
Yeah.
How do we reckon we'll go without Cahill? Look, I reckon we'll get a point. I'm tipping us for a point.
I'd love to see us win it. Yeah, you got all these ideas of grandeur.
I'd love to see us win it.
Well, you think you're going to win because I think he was playing so well, and Ange has set up the team perfectly for every opposition so far. In saying all this, it probably depends on how Spain's going to come out. If they're going to come out and play like they should because they want to make a prove a point and show that they're not useless, then...
they're probably one game late for that.
For a lot of trouble if they wanted...
I think the Chile game was probably the one to prove you're not useless.
Then we'll be in trouble. But if they're deflated, their high egos are gone, well, we're out of the cup, so why bother? And then we've got a good chance of taking 3 points, so wouldn't that just be the perfect way to win the World Cup for us?
We absolutely deserve something out of this World Cup. So
interesting to see who plays in Cahill's spot.
Yeah, Taggart or Lecky. What are your thoughts, mate?
That's interesting, because Lecky's been playing so well out wide.
That's why I don't want to move him, yeah.
Realistically, you go, well, yes, he should go up front because he's going to be great there. But then you go, well then we've got to put Halloran out wide.
Yeah.
It'll be Halloran and Orr.
Taggart all the way.
Yeah, Taggart, yeah. Halloran or is just ensuring that we don't get a touch in the final third game.
Seriously, that's a legitimate concern. We really need to have Lecky out wide. So we need to put Taggart up front. He can have 17 shots, maybe score one of them, and we'll go home with a 1-0 win.
It's one of these things where you say, look, you wouldn't play a goalkeeper out of position because he's trained to play a position. Lecky has been our best player at this tournament. Mm. Play him where he's playing his best. Surely that's how you go to trouble Spain, by Lecky terrorising them with pace.
Yep.
And so but then you've got the option, maybe Bezanic plays wide, but of course Bresciano may be out as well. So maybe Orr in the middle, percentage out wide.
That could be what you would want, isn't it?
That is what I want, yes. To be honest, yes.
But yeah, I'd like to see Taggart play. I think Taggart, if he gets half a chance, might score.
I think he will play.
Yeah. I'm not so sure, but we shall see. Ange, I'll tell you what, Ange is good for a curveball, if that's one thing we've found out about him this World Cup. And
just like the United States player.
Oh, yeah, Jones. Mm. Good. That was, yeah, not bad. And hey, United States in general. Curveball, that's baseball terminology.
He's making up for lost time, isn't he?
He is. He's on fire. Yeah, there's not enough minutes in this podcast.
I've got enough now that I can actually miss tomorrow's podcast. And it doesn't matter.
He's not showing up. He's just doing
it. I've actually got a court date, so I'm just...
He's playing ahead of time. He's coming up with like 9 months worth of material. Netherlands, Chile. I'm not going to say nobody cares because it's a massive game, but we won't spend too long dwelling on it.
Oh, because... No, none of Australia will be watching it.
No, that's right. We won't see it. It'll be kicking off at the same time. We should mention that the days of the three matches a day are over. This morning was our last triple header. We now go into double headers, and then we have a day off, and then there.
And it's a sad day, not just for football lovers, but for us, because we have less material to work with.
Oh, yeah, it's a sad slash devastating day for us.
There might be shortened podcast from now on.
Having said that, this podcast is probably our longest so far. Cameroon, Brazil, and Croatia, Mexico round out the days. I'll be watching the Croatia game as well.
I think so. It's a strange one because I've actually got two in the office sweep. I've got Brazil and Mexico, so they both qualify. I have two teams to get following.
You did well to get Brazil in the office sweep.
It was the last one picked out. It was great.
Was it really? Mm.
Did you do this?
I didn't do
you
it.
You rigged
no.
it, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. If we know anything about Christian, it's that he has a shady background. So not to trust him.
If people haven't listened to the podcast, two podcasts before this, they're just going to think I'm a legitimate criminal. Yeah. So please, I beg you, go back and listen to the episode two podcast from now.
No, believe us, he is a criminal.
This is a stitch-up. Yeah,
it is, absolutely a stitch-up. And then he's come out on today's show and accused Tim Keller of being gay as well.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with being gay at all. Now, let's quickly also thank SMG Australia.
Yeah, they've helped us get our sponsors, so they can help you get yours. If you're a small club or an organisation, jump on board and enjoy the ride.
Mm, they helped Boost Juice come on board as a sponsor for one show.
Hopefully more than one show. That they're on board for the rest of the tournament, but we're hoping after today's little adventure they don't listen to this episode and they just keep on going with
absolutely. It absolutely. We should wrap up the show.
Seriously, chug protein shake, go get it.
It's great, it is fantastic. I'm going up to get one right now. See everybody tomorrow. Thanks for joining us.
See ya.
You've been listening to the Football Sack Podcast for Brazil, brought to you by Banking on Football.